most intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show, No Filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and you might notice, not with me as always, Jive Turkey is not here today, folks. But instead, we have professional up-and-coming mixed martial arts fighter himself, Ian Juice Miller in the house. How are we doing, brother?
I can't complain. Another great card and another thing to be happy about, especially after a Manchester United win. I mean, what else is there to be, you know, upset about in the world right now?
I mean, nothing if you ask me. And then I get to watch a Nottingham Forest game bright and early at like 7 a.m. tomorrow. So let's get it going, baby.
Bangers.
Bangers. Oh, man. So with that being said, folks, we are here to talk about none other than UFC 312. That's right. It is Dricus du Plessis, a.k.a. DDP, a.k.a. Still Knox, a.k.a. and still coming in against Sean Strickland, a.k.a. not your mom's favorite fighter. He is the most outspoken man in the sport, and love him or hate him, he's him. He is delightfully unique and himself. So with that being said, we are going to jump through all of these fights. So we have quite a robust card to go through, even though we have quite a few cancellations and just changes all over. So first cancellation that we had was supposed to be a flyweight bout between Park Hyung-sung and Namjoon Tumendembrol, which, of course, got canceled. And then they subbed somebody else in, which we'll go over in a little bit. One of my favorite fights I was looking forward to that got canceled, though, Ian, was Rey Saruya coming in against Stuart Nickel. If you haven't watched this Rey Saruya guy, please watch him next time he fights.
Give us the synopsis, though. Give us a little,
The synopsis is this dude is like ripped out of a comic book and or a Mortal Kombat game. The way that he walks, the swagger in which he carries himself with and fights with, he is a star in the making. He simply needs to have eyes on him. That's it. He is the guy to watch. I truly think he could be the future of flyweight. And it's very early in his career, right? He's only 22 years old and he's 10-0. the dude's a fucking stud. I'm telling you, bro. You got to look up his fights on Fight Pass. If you're listening right now and if you have not seen Rey Saruya, he's coming out of Chiba, Japan. His foundation is wrestling, and he has 4 knockouts, 4 submissions, and 2 decisions. Like, dude is a well-rounded beast of a human being. Fought on road to UFC, worked his way into the UFC, and then once he got into UFC, my first time, like, memorably seeing him was actually when he fought against Carlos Hernandez on the undercard for UFC 303, a.k.a. Alex Pineda versus Yuri Prochazka 2. And he went out there and got a unanimous decision, looked really good doing it. And, of course, after that, I went back and I watched his fights on road to UFC. And, man,
what?
Impressive.
What country is he from?
Japan.
Okay. I was gonna wonder what Jimmy... Is he at a Crazy Bee?
He is. I believe he is at a Crazy Bee.
Yeah, it's a great gym.
No, he's fighting out of Pere. My goodness. I wish I would have looked up this name beforehand.
he fights out of a gym in Japan.
This might be the first time that I'm like choking on a name here, folks. Somebody clip that. Paraestra Matsudo. is where he trains.
Okay. All right. Well, must be a good gym. All right.
P-A-R-A-E-S-T-R-A is the first word. Like, that's not an easy word.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to leave that to the experts. You know, yeah. Like Rampage Jackson.
That's fantastic. Oh, man. And with that being said, folks, we'll go ahead and get into the actual first fight of the night that is happening. It is a lightweight bout between Kylan Skalkild and Anshul Jubli. I'm actually going to let you take the lead on this one. I do have a favorite in this one. I'm just curious to hear if you have any thoughts on the up-and-comer Anshul Jubli.
Yeah, that's actually who I have winning the fight. I mean, you look at his record, you look at the odds even in the first place, because it's, I believe, at least I checked on this morning, and it was he was a minus 675 favorite. So, yeah. Plus, he was 7-1 going in, or I think he was 7-1 going into the contender series. But I still think he's the ideal takedown plus finishing style fighter. He's a lot of upside, just based upon his contender series fight alone. You can watch that, you see the upside in his style. I'm curious what your take is on him, or, you know, after your, I'm assuming your extensive knowledge and rather research on him rather.
Yeah, so Anshul Jubli is somebody that I was very, very high on before he came to the UFC. And then when he did make it to the UFC, of course, you know, we saw the first UFC fight. It was against Jika Saragi. So not a household name, right? He did go out there and get the win in the second round, ground and pound. And then he really stepped up in competition, in my opinion, when they put him in there against Mike Breeden on UFC 294, Makhachev versus Volkanovski 2. And make no mistake, folks, like if you haven't seen this fight, this is another one that you should probably go watch. Not because it was a crazy banger, not because it was the best fight in the world, but because it was a very unique fight. And I've seen a lot of fights.
Yeah.
The reason I say this is Anshul Jubli was winning this fight. And then his opponent started barking at him like a dog. And for whatever reason, it just completely melted Anshul. And his confidence broke, and like dude was just hur, hur, hur. And then he started throwing punches and like taking him down, and it was tough to watch. And I'm not sure why psychologically it did what it did to him, but yeah, I mean, it's not like his opponent dominated him either. Like in the end of the fight, he still outlanded his opponent by 10 total strikes and by 11 significant strikes. Neither man was able to take down one another, but. Like his opponent was backing him up. His opponent was hitting him and just taking back the fight after Anshul had a really strong first round. And I'm simply worried that that might end up being what happens in here against Kylan Skalkild. I feel like this guy's pretty well-rounded in his own right. And he's also not really traveling a ton for this one, right? So you got to think. Home field advantage. On top of that, he's riding the wins. Whereas Anshul's coming off his first loss. This man hasn't lost since 2021 via rear naked choke. And again, like I know Anshul Jubli, he's a stud. Make no mistake about it. I do think he's going to, as Gambit would say, make a name for himself. But I just don't think it's going to be on Saturday evening. I think the King of Lions, which like, I don't know. Why don't you just call yourself the Lion, man? King of Lions is such a long nickname.
but hear me out. There's Lions and then there's the King of the Lions. You know what I mean? Maybe he's like making that statement. And speaking of that, cats are afraid of dogs. So just saying. Just throwing it out there.
That's a fair point. Maybe that is why he melted when the dog started barking at him, man.
But you did also say that it was later in the fight. And, yeah. What's the quote? I believe it is fatigue makes cowards out of all of us. So that might have something to do with it.
That's a fire quote. I love that quote. And shout out to Crossover in the chat. What's going on with you, my friend? Always happy to see you, my guy. This is the guy I went and saw. I went to UFC 311 with. The man, the myth, the legend. Let's go for that.
That was a good card.
Go for that. That was a lot of fun. That was so fun, dude. The sound that Yuri's shots make in person is wild. And we were in the terrace, bro. Like, we were up there, and I was like, ooh, it's leather.
Bro, just the pound, like some fights you hear, like the definitive punch. I'll give you one quick story. The sound I'll never forget, it haunts me to this day. And it was years ago. I saw live Jessica Eye get head kicked by Valentina live, and it sounded like a baseball bat hitting, like a metal baseball bat hitting a metal pole. And I'd never forget about it is like how long it took her to get up. It took her like 10 minutes, and it was so long to the point that everyone was clapping, doing the standing ovation, stopped for 5 minutes and no sound because everyone thought she was dead.
Oof. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. I remember that. And I also remember seeing, I think it's probably the first time, I think it's the only time actually, I saw a ref turn around the second the knockout happened and go,
like, that was rough.
You see the ref do it into the camera, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was bad. And shout out to the other folks in the chat. We got Western Mass Climber. It is all happening. There's a lot going on right now. And then we got Capitan Rafucho. What's up, Raf? How you doing? Hope you're having a great, great Friday night, my friend. I'm going with Kilan, the hometown kid. I think he's going to get it done over on Shul. I think the gas tank is probably going to be proved to be a little bit too much. And Anshul's got to do something to win me back. Because I was a fan. Yeah. I still am a fan. But that last fight was tough, man. He didn't get outfought. He got outbarked. It was tough. It was tough to watch, man. Lele, what's up? How are you doing? I love that display picture, by the way. Such a good one. So with that being said, folks, we got to move into the next fight. We got a welterweight bout between Jonathan Mikhalev coming in against Kevin Jusset. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet here. I really, really like Kevin Jusset in this one. I don't think his opponent is going to have a ton for him. Quite a bit less experienced as his opponent with 7-1 coming in against 10-3. And again, I know he has triple the losses. But let me tell you, Eric Jusset has been here. He's been at the big show of the UFC. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that he's going to out-pressure him, push him against the cage, and dominate him across the distance. I'm taking Jusset here. And not only am I taking Jusset, I'm taking it by decision, folks. And while Ian gives his pick, I'm going to pull up the odds on this one so I can tell you what Jusset by decision is, because I know he's a favorite. We don't like to take those.
He is the favorite. I don't know what for that prop is.
He's a minus 230 favorite right now.
For overall, or are you talking about prop?
That's just an overall money line, yeah.
Got you. Okay. Because honestly, I had Jusset as well. Honestly, after watching all the tape, Jonathan, I thought actually the only thing he literally has going for him into this fight, in my opinion, is the reach. I think he has like a 2 or 3 inch reach advantage, but that's about it. Like you said, I 9 times out of 10 will take experience, especially experience in the UFC, over people that are, and I'm not saying he's an overhyped prospect or anything like that, but people that have hype as a prospect, I will take the guy that has the years of experience fighting the top of the line guys in the UFC. It's just proven time and time again. That's the guy you should be taking. At least when it comes to betting, right? If you're trying to make this a little spicy and whatnot, go ahead. But if you want to be right, go for the air for the side of, you know, experience, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to this one, like I said, you can get Kevin Jusset. If you want to take him by like a double odds, you can still get him at plus odds, honestly. If you want to take him inside the distance, so by TKO, DQ, TKO, or sorry, TKO, KO, DQ, or submission, you can get him at plus 180 odds. But honestly, I really like the decision one here, and you can get him at just simply decision for plus 140. And he's really, really grindy.
Yeah. But, those guys you don't bet against. They are dogs.
They will grind you out And they don't care if it's, you know, the most exciting fight in the world. They just care to get that double paycheck. And that's what it should be about. They're getting that win. That might be somebody feeling that we have to parlay. We're going to look at the underdogs bets for this week because that's all we got this week, folks. My bookie is on vacation right now. So we're sticking to the underdogs this week, folks. And I mean the underdogs app, not just betting on underdogs.
Oh, I thought that's
what you're saying. Let me clarify. No. That's why I was like, hold on, let me clarify. I saw your face and I was like, should probably clarify. That's an app.
I'm a MyBookie guy, but that's because I got some money from TJ for free. So, you know, shout out. Also, happy 39th birthday, you old fuck.
Love that. Love it. So, yeah, it sounds like we're going the same direction with that. So we can move right on into the, I guess, main event of the early prelims. We got Rong Zhu coming in against Cody Steele. Talk about a discrepancy in experience, Juice. 7-0 coming in against 25-6. Like, yeah, one man almost has as many losses as the other guy has fights.
Someone's purposely here to get fucked up, and I don't know which one, but in my eyes,
thank you.
I think it's Zhu that's the one that's probably being set up to get his ass kicked. Just
they're trying to tee him up.
Promotional aspect. Yeah, it's a promotional aspect. You know, it's a in boxing. I like the way they do it. Actually, is they give you a little test at a time. You're not fighting Terrence fucking Crawford from the beginning. You know, you're going to be fighting guys that'll get you there in 20 fights. But in the UFC, you kind of get thrown to the dogs right away. And this is one of those situations, right? And we just kind of even had it in the last fight where are we erring on the side of experience? Or are we erring on the side of hype? And you know, it's kind of a hard one to test, right? Because Zhu actually is the younger one by 5 years. He's 24 years old. And so I'm going to have to err on that experience and youth. You know, you can watch the fights all you want. We can look at the stylistic matchups all you want. I just think it's one of those situations of that. This guy has that Marab mindset of just head down and keep fucking working. And he has 30 fights at 24 years old, which is so uncommon. So, and he's in the UFC. So I'm going to err on that side, just off of those facts alone, not even looking at the tape. But if you want to look at the tape, I think the same thing too.
Yeah, if you look at the tape, I mean, you've got to go with Cody Steele. He looks like an absolute animal. But I got to be honest, I like where your head's at. This Rong Zhu guy, like, he's somebody that literally fought in the UFC, got cut from the UFC, and then fought and rode to UFC and worked his way back into the UFC, folks. Like, for those that don't know. And by the way, like, his loss that got him kicked out of the UFC was to freaking Ignacio Bahamondes. That's not a slouch. That's not an easy fight. That's not a gimme in any world or universe, folks. So I like Rong Zhu in this one. I really do. And you can get him at Moneyline currently for plus 250.
Oh then man. Parlay those last two.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
That's I'm where my mind's at.
Into my underdogs. get logged into my underdogs app over here so that way we can get this going. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, I'm so excited for this next fight. This is my fight of the night, this next fight.
Oh, are you really excited to see the young man get it done in the UFC? I know.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
Alexander Topuria?
No, not him. The other guy I'm excited about, Colby Thickenese. I've been following him for years.
Are you down with the thickness?
Yep. Yeah.
I love
if
it.
You look at, never mind.
So it's a bantamweight bout between Colby Thickenese and Alexander Topuria. And it sounds like Topuria's going in there to get messed up, according to Ian. Let's hear what you got.
Thickenese is massive for a 35er. Like, genuinely speaking, he is fucking huge. It says he's 5'6 online, but if you look at the photos, he midgets Volk. So I don't know what's true, what's not, but if you watch him fight, he is so much fun to watch. He is like a fucking tornado in there, just nonstop action. I'm taking him, especially with the odds I saw earlier, at least today. I'm taking him every day of the week. I think he's a extremely talented fighter. And on the other side of things, Topuria, fantastic fighter in his own right, fights borderline identical to his brother, just doesn't hit as hard. And I think that's where shit hits the fan for him, especially with a guy that's going to push you like Colby. I'm taking the guy. I think the world of him, especially since he's a product that's been training with Volk since he was like 14 or 15. That's the guy I'm going to take. I know he's coming in on short notice as well, but still, I'm taking him. What are your thoughts?
I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, we love a dog pick here at this show. And I love the inside intel, if I'm being completely honest with you. If you look at this one on Tapology, the way that people are betting, they're not giving a whole lot of respect to Thickenese. It looks like 71% of the people out of 3,470 votes are going with Topuria, and 68% of those people are going with him by knockout.
Nepotism.
I mean, it's a hell of a thing, right? It truly is. It truly is. And if you look at it, like, sure, 60% of his wins have come by way of KO/TKO, but who's he fought? Right? Like, that's the big thing, is who's he fought. And we've seen him be knocked out in the third round of a fight against an Ivo Ivanov. So, I mean, his opponent, Slickness, Thickness. I love that his nickname is Slickness. Just makes
I don't
me
know if you have watched that video he put out recently. And I don't know if it was him or it was like a, you know, like another broadcast partner or something, but they were making fun of him and they said to him like, basically he said that he had autism, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It was hilarious. Yeah, but you should watch it. It's funny. I think I put it in the group chat.
Okay. I need to go back and watch that one. I'm going with Colby, man. I don't know why. I think he gets it done. He looks like just the more durable fighter. And obviously he does have the more tenured experience, not by much, but he does have the more tenured experience. And like you said, nepotism is a hell of a thing. It truly is.
It kind of goes both ways if you think about it, right? One is Volk's guy and one is Topuria's guy, which is really weird because they're going to fight soon eventually.
That's interesting. Again. That is interesting. That is interesting, actually.
Right. Well, this puts an odd twist to it.
I mean, he's going to get one back, I guess. That's why I'm taking it.
Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Yes. Love that. Yeah, dude, I'm excited about it. This next fight. So you were excited about this one. I'm excited about the next one. It's a women's flyweight bout between Kong Wong and Bruna Brazil. This is going to be one of the, I think, funnest women's fights of the year. You have 32 years of age coming in for Wong Kong, coming off of a knockout loss, right? She got dropped. She was actually doing well in that fight. She was a heavy favorite. I think she was the largest or second largest favorite on the whole freaking fight card. And she just got caught. She's coming into this one with a 1-inch reach advantage. And she's coming in against the 10-4 Bruna Brazil, who, with all due respect, I like Bruna Brazil. I think she's a good fighter. But like, her biggest win is over Molly McCann. I'm sorry, bro. Like, earmuffs. I know you're a big Molly fan, but
No. I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Like, if that's your biggest win, I think that Kong Wong is gonna give her trouble, because her without a reach advantage, the striking is already big time tough for somebody like a Bruna Brazil. But fighting nerds have been on a tear. It's tough to bet against them. I think that goes almost without saying. So, you know, I'm almost between a rock and a hard place when it comes to this one. I mean, from a betting standpoint, I'm going to tell you straight up, like, I'm taking Kong Wong to get the win, but I'm not betting anything on this fight, folks. -355 on her. I do think she's a favorite for a reason, but I'm not dropping a penny on that. And I'm also not 100% confident that she can go out there and get the finish over somebody like a Bruna Brazil, because the special one, Bruna Brazil, is very tough. She's very tough. She has been knocked out 3 times, though. But I mean, Luma Lukbomi is a hell of a fighter, and she couldn't put her away. So I think it's going to be favorite, tough.
She is my favorite. Lukbomi is my favorite female fighter, hands down. Like, not even close to, no one else is even close. I saw her fight in the UFC, and I was like, who the hell is that? And they're like, oh, she's the first Thai female fighter, whatever. No, that's not even on topic, but big fan of hers. But no, I honestly, you couldn't have said it any better. Yeah, I mean, like you said, she has the reach on her side. She has the aggression on her side to a degree, right? And, you know, if your best win is Molly, I mean, sorry, like, big, I love Molly as a person. I think she's great. But as a fighter, nothing to write home about. So, you know, I'm going to ride the same wave as you right now. I wouldn't be betting on it either. But, you know, if you're feeling spicy, take him in my anomalies pick. But, yeah. Yeah.
It's gotta be Wong Kong for me, man. I'm doing it. I'm going there. And for this next one, I'm going there. For this next one, we have a lightweight bout between Tom Nolan coming in against Vyacheslav Borshev, a.k.a. Slava Claus. Ian, tell the folks in this one who you have.
Yeah, I'm taking Tom. Like, no, not even a half a thought about it. If you watch Vyacheslav's fights and you tell me that you think he's going to win against someone that has adequate grappling, I think you're off your damn rocker, as my dad would say. You know, I just, like, I don't, he goes to a great grappling gym, which makes no sense to me. He's at Team Alpha Male, and he can't stop a takedown from the past two or three fights I've watched him fight. Can't stop one to save his goddamn life. So I don't know what Uriah is doing. If he's like the forgotten redheaded stepchild, I don't know what it's about, but since I'm not in that room, but what I will tell you is Tom to the fucking moon. So, I mean, what's your thoughts? Like, genuinely, like, I don't know how he wins this fight, Vyacheslav.
Dude, same. Honestly, I going back and watching tape for this one, I was like, oh, that was an easy pick. Oh, that was a very easy single leg. Oh, what are they doing over there? Like, cause I love Team Alpha Male. Truly, I'm a big fan of that gym. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you look at his grappling and you look at Touchy Feely's grappling, they don't even train in the same universe, dog. It's wild to me. It's wild to me.
The other thing, too, is what my coach Jesse always says, and, like, there is no truer word he said, is how do you beat a wrestler? You keep his head off of you. So if they shoot on this side, you bring it to the other side so that they have to reach, they have to, adjust and then keep running.
And then chain wrestle.
And chain wrestle, right? But I don't even see that even on the initial shots he's defending them. I genuinely speaking, I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. So it upsets me to watch because I know he's working his ass off trying to do the right things, like how I'm doing every day. And then you show
and he's
that.
Somebody that's, he was promising. He was very promising when he first came into the UFC. I was so excited about this kid.
Contender Series? Oh my God. He was a savage.
And monster. Then, he was a monster.
What? Then he lost the monster in him or something. I don't know what it is, but no, I'm, yeah, we're both on
the
same page.
Put that monster back under the bed, apparently.
Yes. Damn. Shit.
What up, Sav? Welcome to the chat. Love having you here.
All right. Good job, champ.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
So, yeah, I'm on Tom Nolan, bro. I don't see how Tom loses this fight. Oh, and by the way, folks, on DraftKings Sportsbooks, not a sponsor, wish they were, maybe someday, on DraftKings Sportsbooks, you can actually get Tom Nolan currently money line for plus 100.
Actually?
Basically double your pleasure, double your fun. Yeah. You put 50 on him, you get 100 back. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
I love a good dog. And I mean, that's just like a flat dog. So it's such a, I don't understand it. There's a couple of sets of odds in this fight card that I'm very confused on.
Maybe
so the next one's a bit of similar. So like the next one, we have a featherweight bout between Jack Jenkins and Gabriel Santos. And I got to be honest with you, man. I like Jack Jenkins in this one. I know Santos is no slouch, but I like Jenkins a lot in this one. I think he's going to go out there and break this man's leg with leg kicks. And you can currently get that guy at plus 195 dog odds. So you almost get triple your money back. Insane. I don't understand the odds right now.
No, I don't either. But you have to put it into perspective, like swing, like how people throw a shit ton of money on one guy, so then the odds swing the other way. That might be what's going on, and we might have been a timing-based sure. thing. But, yeah, Mr. Take Your Leg Home Jenkins, the White Aldo.
Mr. Hide Your Leg.
Yeah, Mr. White Aldo. Like I rewatched his fight against, I forgot what the guy's name was, the Asian gentleman. Oh my God, he ripped that dude's leg up the whole fight. I mean,
so
it
nasty.
Literally looked like an old school Aldo fight, right? Very simple hand combinations, maybe jab, cross, hook, and then leg,
rip.
Leg, faint, leg, faint, yeah. leg. Oh my God, he was taking that shit home. And like, I don't believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he's a freestyle kickboxing guy.
No.
But sure as hell looked like it that night.
He does. He does look like a freestyle kickboxing guy. And again, exactly what you said. Like, he keeps the hands in your face, and then the second he gets you biting on feints and putting your hands up, blah, blah, he's snapping those legs in and chopping those trees down. It is two things. It is disturbing to watch and also incredibly visually appealing to watch, man. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Like, as a Muay Thai guy, those are just disgustingly nice to see. And the sound they make, the face they make the opponent make. Oh, yeah. I love this fight from a Jack Jenkins fan standpoint. Now, again, as I said, Gabriel Santos is definitely not a slouch. Masquitinho is a beast in his own right, right? He's a bit of a decision machine, right? 4 decisions, 4 submissions, 3 TKOs. He's coming off a decision win, but you got to think about the 2 before that, right? Lerone the Miracle Murphy, like losing a split decision to that guy, we're not going to bat an eyelash at it because he is a miracle. The guy's a freaking problem. But he also went out there and lost via uppercut knockout in round number 2 to David Onama. And that is what's concerning to me. That is why I think Jack Jenkins is going to get the win just about any way he pleases. And at plus 195 odds, I'm crying that my guy's on vacation. I can't bet on that right now. But you know I'm going to hammer something home on the Underdogs app. I'm already cooking up a parlay. I got 3 picks locked in, and this is probably going to be number 4, folks. And speaking of number 4, we got someone that's number 1 in your heart in the chat right now, folks. We got the one, the only, S-Dogs MMA Talk.
I knew that's who you were talking about before you even said his name. I just had that in here.
How we doing, Sterling? I hope you're having a freaking blessed Friday night. I'm going to pour up a shot for that guy. I got to do one for that guy.
And for the Texans.
Dude, so, I mean, it sounds like we're both on Jack Jenkins, obviously, and it sounds like we're both on him via finish.
Yeah, no, not even, yeah, no, I don't think, I guess TKO would be, though, if I had to, like, throw my money on one specific style, like, this like, type, I would say TKO would be my pick today. Or technically tomorrow, but you know what I mean.
So, I mean, you can get him flat out money line at plus 195. If you wanted to take him inside the distance, like by decision or TKO, you get him at plus 200. If you're bullish on knockout, this is going to be nasty odds, I feel. Here we go. Yeah, if you want to take him by knockout, it's plus 700.
All right. You know what? Might have to do that.
So to put that into perspective, you put $50 on it, that nets 400 back. That's not bad at all.
No, it sounds like a good night.
And I wholeheartedly think that he gets that done. Let's see what the multiplier is on the good old Underdogs app. Oh, I like that too. Jack Jenkins via finish on Underdogs is a 2.93x multiplier. Yeah, I like that. I'm doing that. I locked that one in. That's going to be one that I do on probably multiple parlays. All right, folks.
Yeah.
We have 43 of you watching right now. So if you drink, raise one up with us. If you don't, that's fine. Spark up like my guy to my right. And if you do neither, maybe raise up a glass of water as we do this toast. Here's to you. Here's to us. Here's to no fuss, no muss. And here's to all the growth we'll see in the year for you and me. Cheers, folks.
Let me see that shot glass when you're done with it. Era.
I brought out the Ireland one for you, brother.
That you got me there. You stole my heart on that one shot.
I do, literally. You know, that's me. That's what I try to do. Try to steal the hearts of many. So, folks, we are actually already getting through this card pretty quickly because you know what time it is.
It's time
for the main card, folks, and we are starting off with an absolute banger. Jake Matthews in the welterweight division coming in against Francisco Prado. Man, oh, Manowitz, I am excited for this fight. I'm a huge Jake Matthews fan. Have been since he was on The Ultimate Fighter. And I got to be honest, I'm worried for him. This Prado guy, he is
really
tough. He's tough. But I don't think he's going to beat my guy. I still got Jake. Okay. I still got Jake, baby. I got Jake all day in this one. I think he is too good at the distance management, keeping the hands out. And then the best thing about Jake Matthews is this, my friend. The second he lands something up top and he gets you hurt, your hands go up and he just... Bah, 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 bah. He starts ripping the body like an old school boxer, bro. Like a nasty son of a gun from Brooklyn, the way he gets in there with those body shots. I love the way that he fights. I just think he's an exciting fighter. And I do think that, again, Prado is one of these guys that's probably going to have a hell of a career in the UFC as long as he lasts in the UFC after this loss. Because I do see him getting a loss on Saturday against my guy, Jake Matthews. I just think Prado is a rock. Make no mistake about it. But as I've said on this show before, and I'll say it numerous times again, a constant stream of water, juice, it'll melt that rock. I think that's what's going to happen on Saturday evening. What do you see happening in this one?
So Prado, absolutely. First off, shout out to him for that absolute banger against Zellhuber, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yeah,
what Zellhuber. A wild ass fight that was. Like, that was fight of the night. Might have even been fight of the year in reality. What I will say is this, right? Was a very hyped up prospect coming into the UFC. Another guy like that, kind of like we were talking about earlier, right? Significantly actually hyped up. And then he went on a 1-2 skid, right? I do have Matthews winning this fight on Saturday, rather, or depending where you're at, actually. But I have him winning that fight. However, I will say Prado definitely deserves the praise he gets from us right now in regards to him being absolute savage. But what I will say is I actually see him getting cut after Saturday because in my eyes, if you're 1-3, you're getting cut. That's just how the UFC works. But outside of that, yeah, like, he's only 22, if I read that correctly, earlier, but you know, he needs some more time, under the heat lamp, as some would say, right? So he needs a little bit of time to heat up, and get going. So yeah, no, I just think, Jake is going to end up using his veteran experience, kind of like what we're talking about earlier, take the experience. Not that big of a fan of his. As you are, but what I will say is I do have him taking the win on Saturday. But you let me know.
Love it.
Am I crazy?
I'm with you, bro. Jake Matthews gets the win. I think he definitely gets the win. I actually can see him getting a knockout. Even if it's not a knockout, I see him getting a finish. And I'm going to throw him on the underdogs parlay. You get a 1.57x multiplier on that if you pick Jake Matthews by finish. So right now we're at 5 picks and it is 92x your money for the 5 picks I've got locked in. So I'm going to go ahead and put a unit on this and then we're going to keep pumping it up and we'll put like a fifth of a unit on something a little crazier. So as of right now, this is what we got.
How much is a unit?
So units are whatever you want them to be. We like to keep it on a unit thing on the show. So that way we don't make anybody feel too rich or too poor. You know, whatever you bet with whatever you can lose, folks.
Gotcha.
But I will tell you for easy math, like I said, it's a 92x multiplier right now on this one. So if you put like $1 on it, you get 92 back for easy math. If you put $50 on it, you get 4,600 back. So good times.
Might have to send you 50.
Good times. So on this one, we have Jack Jenkins by finish. We have Jake Matthews by finish. We're taking Rong Zhu in significant strikes. And they're giving me an 8.5 adjustment, which means even if he lands 7 less significant strikes, that bet hits. Love that about underdogs. If you bet on the underdogs on underdogs, they give you a differential spread, which is just a chef's kiss thing. It's so nice. So like, again, if you think Jonathan Mikhailov is going to beat Kevin Doucette for whatever reason on significant strikes, they're giving a 24.5 strike adjustment for him. So if he lands within 23 significant strikes, that'll hit.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Okay. I kind of like the style, honestly, because like it kind of
underdogs is awesome and it's available in most states. This is not an ad spot. We are not sponsored by underdogs. Again, I really wish that, you know, we were. That'd be really cool if we were, but we're not. Maybe someday. And if ever that day comes, maybe they'll have cool ad spots that I created for them like this. But instead, I just did that for fun. So here we are, folks. I'm taking Kevin Doucette on points, by the way. I'm not going Jonathan Mikhailov, even with a 24.5 point adjustment, folks. And then last but certainly not least, we're taking Kong Wong, depending on who you ask, on significant strikes as well. So like I said, we're at 92x on that. Yeah,
you did it right. It's Kong Wong. It's like Yao Ming, right? It technically was exactly. Yao, but you know. Okay. Well, at least we're on the same page.
Exactly. Yes. We're here. We're hive minding right now.
Same wavelength.
I actually feel like we are same wavelength tonight. We picked a lot of the same fighters.
Ironically.
Yeah. I feel like that's never the case in our like Instagram group chat.
No,
we not oftentimes at all. Well, if pick anything,
opposites. It's quite the opposite. Yeah.
The one time I have you on the show, it's like, all right, I guess we're just gonna fucking agree with each other all night.
We should do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely, man. light heavyweight bout between Jimmy the Brute Crute coming in against Rodolfo Belato. This one is gonna be fun. For whoever you're a fan of, to be honest. I'll be honest. I already have a side bet on Jimmy the Brute Crute. I think he gets it done. The kid's 28 years old. Really? And I truly do. Look, as my friend Leroy would say. Look, man, don't you think they're like, if Jimmy could get just a couple things better, he'd be pretty good, right? And I agree with him. He's an Australian guy. He has a very great accent. I did a very poor job at it. His sounds way better than mine because he's actually Australian.
what, you're not?
But I agree with him, dude. I truly think, thank you. I truly think that if Jimmy works on like 2 or 3 things, he'll be a very complete fighter. The only thing that really like worries me about this fight against Rodolfo is the 3.5-inch reach advantage that he has over Jimmy. That is a big, big, tough one. They are the same exact height, which doesn't help, right? It'd be much better if Jimmy was like 3 inches taller because at least then he's punching up. That's simply not the case. And then not to mention, Rodolfo is not an easy outing for anybody. Like he is a very, very well-rounded fighter. And I mean, he's only lost twice. Both those times were by knockout. That is the path to victory that I do see for his opponent, Jimmy Crute. And I know Jimmy has kind of had a falling from grace to an extent, right? Like, I feel like he came in on a real hot run. As soon as he came in, he beat Paul Craig. And not only did he beat him, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he fucking submitted him. He submitted him. It was pretty wild. So he submitted Paul Craig in his first UFC fight via Kimura in round number 3 with only 9 seconds left in the freaking round in the fight. And then after that, he beat Sam Alvey, which, you know, going back to what you were saying about, you know, if someone's 1-2 or 1-3 in the UFC, they might get cut. Yeah, I agree with you, unless their name rhymes with Pam Salvey. And with that being said, folks, after that, Jimmy Crute had his first loss in the UFC. It was to Misha Surkunov, which, no slouch. Let's look at who else he beat after that, though. Mikhail Oleksaychik is no slouch. This man is top tier. Top tier when it comes to the light heavyweight division currently, in my opinion. He is at least top 15. And he got beat in the very first round. Oh, by the way, how did he beat him, Ian? Well, he beat him via Kimura in the first round. So I just think it's crazy, right? That this guy is able to pull off multiple Kimuras in the UFC over top level talent. And then if you want to talk about how he's lost, like when he loses, it's via finish, right? Anthony Smith, he had a weird leg injury against him. Like he wasn't able to continue. It was, I think, caused by leg kicks. So not a complete crazy situation. And then the Jamahal Hill fight, you know, Jamahal beat him via right hook in round number one. And then he fought Alonzo Menafield. They had a majority draw. They rematched each other. And I truly think he simply like went into that fight with a weird sense of false confidence. And he got gillied. You know, Alonzo said, don't be silly, jump the gilly, even though I look like I could knock you out with my pinky toe because of his build. I just, dude, I don't see how Rodolfo beats him. I'll be honest with you. I don't think he's going to go out there and be able to knock him out. He's no Jamahal. He's a beast, but he's no Jamahal. So give me Jimmy Crute and give me Jimmy Crute by finish.
So we kind of messed up by talking about how we agree on everything earlier. Like right, literally, actually, right before this, because this is where we kind of hit that stuff, you know, that point
lick of no balls. Return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Back to being frenemies.
So first off, I thought he was retired for a second, Jimmy Crute.
Yeah, but literally for like 1 second.
Okay. Because I saw his name on the card and I was like, I have pretty good vision, actually. So I don't know where my vision's deceiving me here today. But here's a couple things that we need to keep in mind, right? So Bellotto took this fight on 30 days notice. So we also have to take in the fact that he stopped training. He had to stop for a while because he had a serious kidney issue. Now he's fine, right? That's how he's able to fight. That's how he got cleared and whatnot. But I will say this is like, if you look at his fight, I believe it was 2023, but it was against Ihor Poteria. However, you know, you actually correctly pronounce his name. And I apologize to the people of that country because I just did you dirty. But
I think you actually did it right. I think it's Ihor Poteria.
Oh, well, shout out. You know, every dog has his day, right? But but with that being said, if you watch that fight, I mean, that dude has absolute knockout power. And when someone is quick to retire like that, in my personal opinion, I think they're looking for a way out, right? There's something not going right, something wrong. No, maybe I will be wrong. Maybe he will shut me the fuck up. But what I will say is this is I'm taking Bellotto just based upon that alone. And the fact that he's got hands. And I'm taking him by TKO, to be more specific.
So I'm betting you a shot of whiskey on that fight.
I'm injured right now, so it's perfect. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go. Can't wait. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
You won that. You got me bought in. I'm in.
Let's go. I got a shot on Jimmy Crute. I actually have two shots on Jimmy Crute now because I have one with Drew and 20 push-ups. So we'll go ahead and move into heavyweight division. Justin Taffa coming in against Taliesin Teixeira. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one because I'm actually intrigued to hear your thoughts on Taliesin.
So I'm a massive Taffa family fan for the most absolutely absurd reason. So when I was, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been to a couple cards as of recent, but I believe it was the Volk versus, it was either Ilya or it was versus Pantera. It was one of the two, but he fought for his brother, right? And he walked out to the song called Shut Up by Stormzy. And it's one of my favorite songs. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm riding with this guy forever now. So I'm riding with him, not just based upon that, but also because that man has absolute hands. Oh, sorry, did I say Taffa? No, I'm not riding with him. Sorry. I'm just a fan of his. I have, our other homie Teixeira by knockout, actually. Can't wrestle. Taffa has no ground game and has shown the
switch up on tendency. That was wild.
Yeah. Sorry. I pulled
the switch up on that was insane.
You, that was some, that was you some literally, shit.
you were going on, and I'm like, all right, he's really top on this one. And then you just pulled the rug out from underneath.
I just wanted to say I'm a fan of his, right? I got to give everyone their due. You know, being a fighter, like, I feel like a lot of people don't get their dues, but that whole family deserves their dues. But what I will say is he gets tired. You know, no ground game. So even if you fake a shot, not even actually complete the shot, kind of a la Marab, right? In the sense where you're shooting to get a reaction, you're not shooting to get a takedown. He just has to fake it twice, and he could really catch the homie. Even just take him down. Make him get up, please. You're going to get tired. I know you're fat asses, so, like, let's get it going. And that's how I see him winning. But I eventually see him winning by knockout because he gets so tired. Whether it's just all on the feet or whether he mixes it up, I just don't see the cardio there. And cardio is king. So, well, I mean, what's your take on it, though?
I'm actually 1,000% with you. In every facet. Like, I was going to start off by saying, like, I'm a big fan of Justin Toffa. You know, his little brother filled in for him on a fight, and then he filled in for him the next fight. So they kind of swapped opponents. Look, I'm a big fan of the Toffa family as well. Bad Man is a great nickname for Justin. And I think he is the stronger and better Toffa brother. I think he's definitely significantly better at the sport of mixed martial arts than his brother, Junior. And that's no disrespect to Junior, more so a compliment to Justin, right? So, look, dude, it's tough. But at the same time, Teixeira comes from kind of MMA royalty family, in my opinion. And he does have a gas tank, and he does have grappling. And I do think he'll be able to take him down. And just like you said, like, taking him down and not even having to throw big laboring shots, but just letting him work to try and get up is freaking exhausting. It's why I don't like doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and grappling. Like, if I could just do Muay Thai every day of my life, facts, I'm doing that. Because I don't want people on top of me. It's defeating, it's demeaning, and 80% of the time, they're better at it than me. So I don't like that.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like to be a heavyweight in the UFC, because all of these guys have done it for a very, very long time. Like, if you go drop into a well-known gym and you drop into a BJJ class, a lot of those people are going to know exactly what they're doing. And if you try and flow with them, it's not going to feel like flowing. It's going to feel like drowning. I think that's what this fight's going to feel like for Justin Toffa, folks. I think it's going to feel a lot like drowning. He's going to drown in the grappling. He's going to drown in the jiu-jitsu. And unfortunately for him, I think he might very well get cut after this loss. He doesn't have a super winning record in the UFC. He's an exciting fighter when he does win, but he doesn't win often enough. And that's tough. So
he's 7-4. Like, he doesn't win a lot often in general, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Off, like, of that alone, like I've only seen 500 records from the female side of the roster. And that's because they were hurting to find talent. In this case, they're not. But what I will say is this, that I actually don't think he gets cut. Even if he loses, based off the fact that he's taking these fights so last minute and, you know, whatnot. Company men do get their due eventually. Not all of them, but I think this one would, just based upon the fact that they're hurting for heavyweight talent in the first place.
Yeah, so, and I mean, and you mentioned his record. He's 4-4 in the UFC, so he's literally a 500 fighter in the UFC. If he loses this, he'll be 4-5. That's a tough break. But he has a puncher's chance, or more so a kicker's chance. Like, we've seen him go out there and just leg kick people, and it's disgusting when those things land. They're tree trunks, brother. They are tree trunks. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah. Heavyweight's a different division. Like when I watch their fights, I don't understand, and I fight professionally because I'm not in their world. Like, it's a whole different world and strategy. No. So it'll be interesting though. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And like, sparring a heavyweight as a lightweight or a featherweight is, again, it's very different. It's like apples to oranges. Like, you are baiting them in with quick, slick movements. You're trying to get them to bite on feints. And then if you can grapple them, like my coach, Tomas Dion, he's a Muay Thai guy back in the day at AKA. And he literally told me that he submitted Kane twice. Why? Because Kane's a 265-pound man. And my coach was a 145-pounder when he'd fight. So he would basically get him on top. Triangle, armbar. Make the man get up, make the man go down. Make the man get up, make the man get down. Because as you know, for one of those submissions, you have to stack. For the other one, you have to apply pressure. So you're literally getting up and getting back down. And if you're 265 pounds, eventually you're going to get tired of doing that. And one of those is going to sink in enough to make you tap. So it's tough, man. It's tough with these grapplers.
I'm just going to be honest. Kane let that happen. All right. I don't care what anyone says. Kane let that happen. I don't care what anyone says.
I mean, he was for sure injured or something. And you know, maybe
he's a former Sun Devil. All right. Sun Devils don't lose.
Bro, Kane is literally like one of my favorite fighters of all time, especially out of like all the fighters I've ever met. Like that guy is A, incredible, and B, incredibly terrifying. Yeah, he walked into the gym and literally when I came home and told like Mare that I met him, I was like, yeah, she's like, how was it? I was like, he's like the Terminator. Like, he just walked in and scanned the room in the most horrifying way. And then he's like, you, how much experience do you have? Come with me. I'm like, what just happened? Are those guys going to die? Am I going to see them this week? I think he invited him to like go train with the amateur team or something.
He's like, no. You won't see these guys ever again.
He's like, you, how long have you trained? Come with me. I'm like, good luck.
Just bring them onto a moving truck.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we have someone new in the chat here. We got Yehwach. I think that's how you say that. That's a cool picture for the display. Thoughts on Jubilee. Thoughts on Jubilee. We did break down that fight. We'll jump back here a little bit. I think he's a great prospect. I think he has a lot of promise and a lot of hype behind him. I don't think it's going to be a good night for him on Saturday. I think the pressure is going to wilt him in a similar way that it did last time. And I mean, last time he lost because there was a man barking at him. This time, I think he's going to lose because there's a man fighting him very, very, very hard. That's my thoughts on Jubilee. I am excited for his career. I'm excited to see him progress and grow. But am I betting on him this week? Unfortunately, no, I'm not. not even on Underdog's fantasy sports. So with that being said, folks, we are going to jump into the co-main event of the evening. I'm super excited about this one. This might be one of my favorite fights on the entire fight card. Really feeling the ladies' fights on this night, folks. So with that being said, we're going to switch up the view, give a little tail of the tape action here. So that way you can see the fights we're breaking down. And as you know, we usually like to pour up at least one more shot here for the co-main or main. So I will do that at this point in time. And if you do as well, pour one up with us. If you don't, as I said, do like the guy that is now not to my right, but just below me, like a Brady Bunch little panel here. Raise your Toki Toke and do your thing there. Folks, we appreciate you. If you're watching on Twitter, there's a handful of you, like 54 of you are watching on Twitter. If you could come on over to YouTube, even if only for a moment, hit the like, the comment, the subscribe, smash that bell for notifications. That way you know when we're live every time. And also, it would just be super, super helpful for me. So cheers, folks. To that, I say cheers to you and cheers to this freaking incredible co-main event.
Slanta.
Salute.
Here's what I'm gonna take the lead on this one, all right? Just because I'm fucking pumped for this fight. This is the best fight on the card, stylistically speaking. Like, the Thick and Ease Topuria fight is my favorite fight to watch just because I'm a bantamweight and I watch every bantamweight like before they even get into the UFC. But I will say this. We have the female Khabib in an absolute dog, too. Training out of California as well. It's partially half the time in Vegas, but that's besides the point. Tatiana is just an absolute animal. Like, I don't see how Weili survives. In all honesty, I think it'll be a decision. I think it'll be a 5-round decision. But what I will say is I see us having a new champ and a very dominant champ for 2 years before she bows out. You know, she's 34. But what I will say as well is Weili does not need to be slept on. She is an incredibly great grappling team in the Hickman brothers. And she's over at Bang Tao in Thailand, which is like partially where Volk and those guys train because their manager owns it. But I just think we're about to see a changing of the guard. just because we haven't seen dominant wrestling like this in female MMA. And I don't think we will it for a while, unless they add the 105 division, because I know someone coming up through that. But what I will say is, yeah, I mean, I can't say a bad thing about her. I mean, she's an absolute animal. So, yeah, I'm taking her because, I mean, and her training partner is her husband, Patchy Mix, who's also one of the best bantamweights in the world for men. So just keep that in mind when we're looking at this fight. So, I mean, what's your take, though? I know you're a Whaley fan as well.
Oh, man. So that's the worst thing about this is I love first and foremost, guys, like give it up. Give it up for Ian Juice Miller with that breakdown. Like hearing you talk, that's when it really, really shows that you're a pro fighter outside of when I see you professionally fighting. it's a really great example. And I just love hearing people that do this speak about it, right? Because it's one thing to train. It's a totally different thing to actually fight professionally. So again, to break down the stats here, I am a Zhang Weili fan. I'm a huge, huge fan of Weili. I'm a huge fan of Tatiana as well, dude. I've been watching her since Tough, and I've been a big fan since Tough. 34 years of age, even though she has a far less extensive career, that's due to the fact that she's faced cancer. She's faced numerous injuries. Like, she has had to fight not only inside, but also outside of the octagon. So if obviously one woman is 11-0, the other is 25-3, 5'4" versus 5'5". I was actually shocked to see that the height difference wasn't larger. When you look at them inside of the octagon, it's deceptive. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I think it's because Zhang fights a little bit low, almost like a hunched down, like Thai boxer. Whereas Tatiana stands a lot more upright when she fights and it shows. 66-inch reach versus 63-inch reach is probably the biggest takeaway from this, as well as the fact that one fighter typically will switch stances. Usually she fights more in an orthodox stance, but she is very good at the switch stance in Zhang Weili, while the other fighter is notoriously a southpaw fighter. That means there's going to be a lot more opportunity for certain strikes, right? If you have southpaw strikers going in there, like a Dustin Poirier, you got to look out for a lot of different things in that arsenal. You got to look out for the lead right hook. You got to look out for the left cross and that left looping uppercut or hook whenever you're circling in. And then again, these last two stats, I really just had to throw in for the co-main and main event. I might change this up. I built this today, but I might change up the stats on this as we go along for these fight cards, depending on who's in the octagon. I just thought this one made a lot of sense because Ian already said it. This is going to be some of the most high-level grappling we've ever seen in the octagon, and especially in women's MMA, right? But I think in totality of mixed martial arts. And Tatiana is going to press the grappling. She's not just a good BJJ person. She is a good, true grappler. She has good chain wrestling. So that's why I didn't think it made sense to throw in any of the grappling stats, right? We know they're both freaking beasts at it. So this bottom stat, or these bottom two stats, are significant landed strikes per minute and significant absorbed strikes per minute. This was the most shocking stat that I actually saw about these two in comparison. So really? 5.66 landed per minute for Zhang, 4.27 landed for Tatiana. I thought that they would be very close across the board. The fact that Tatiana has absorbed less or half as many strikes as her opponent per minute is pretty insane to me. And it speaks a lot to the type of fight that she's willing to fight. She's not willing to engage in a dogfight. She's going to outgrapple you if you start punching her. She's going to negate that and change the trajectory of the fight and start controlling the dance again. So I went back and watched tape, obviously, right? You see this stat and you're like, oh, shit, this is crazy. Why is this happening? So you go back and you look and go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is that it makes sense, though, if you think about it from a strategic standpoint, right? If someone's on their back, it's hard to throw punches.
Let alone significant ones.
But here's what I will add, actually, because I think the stat actually says more than just that, right? What I will say is I think that Wei Li, stylistically speaking, to give herself the best chance, I'm part of the Bain Muay Thai system, so we call this open stance. So for her, she would be an orthodox fighting against a southpaw, like Tatiana, right? So you have open body. Both of us have an open body to each other to get kicked. I think that will be extremely important for her because she can feint the knees up the middle so that it deters her, feint the uppercuts, and then she can blast body kicks freely because if Tatiana shoots during the kick, she's getting knocked the fuck out. And I've seen it happen plenty of times. So that if I was Whaley's coach, that's where I'm going with this. Doesn't matter if Tatiana switches to orthodox. Fine, we're going to switch to southpaw and make this open stance. But that's the way I would – if I was a coach in this corner, that's the way I would do it. But I'm going to throw it back to you on that, and I apologize for cutting you off there.
No, no, no. Don't ever apologize, bro. I want to hear your thoughts. That's why I have you on. Look, dude, I agree with you. I love, love, love Tatiana. This is something that I've, like – I've almost prayed for, right? Like when she was sick, like when she was taking time off from injuries, like I genuinely was like praying for her, hoping she'd come back, hoping she'd get better. And she has, and she's back. And honestly, I think this is like the worst case scenario in her coming back to the UFC. Like, give her a tune-up fight, and not a tune-up fight. They don't do that in the UFC really, right? Like,
no,
give her a fight that makes sense. And this fight is just too much too fast. It feels like the Icarus effect. And it almost feels like, it feels like the UFC are just like, well, we don't know how long she's going to be healthy. So we got to cash in on it as soon as we can. Let's give her Zhang. And yeah. I love the fight. Fair. Virna Jandiroba, who she was scheduled against and got canceled.
But it was canceled on Jandiroba's side, if I remember correctly, right? Yeah, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here.
Oh, no, You're right. I think it was actually canceled on Virna's side. So, that's a good reason for her to not take that fight.
Yeah.
So, okay, fair play. And again, I'm not mad at the matchmaking. I just think if I'm Tatiana's manager, I probably would have fought for, I don't know, a different fight first. Because you know if she wins any fight and is still healthy. Now. Okay, fair. I mean, you do want to strike while the iron's hot. And if they give you the chance, you don't want to pass it up. Right?
Age. The past 36 stat as a champion. It's not a good look.
I thought Nano was actually not here this week, but it sounds like there's a jive turkey in the room spitting the same exact fucking stat this guy tells me every week.
You guys hate on us old guys.
Okay. I get it.
Birds of the same feather flock together. Right. I think that's how they say it, but I'm excited.
Under 30 crew versus the over 30 crew. Yeah, I get it. I see where the line in the sand
is.
I'm
30, so I'm on the line. All right.
Or sorry, under 35 and over 35 crew. We'll go there.
All right. I'm gonna let you take off on the main event. I'm interested for you on this one because
I'm going Zhang. By the way, if it was unclear, I'm going Zhang Weili. I think she gets it done. I think she hits her with a knee coming up the center as Tatiana's coming in for a takedown. I think it's gonna be a knee.
Fair play.
And with that being said, folks, we are here. It is time. It is time for the main event. It's time for 5 rounds in the UFC Octagon. Oh, man, I am so freaking excited for this fight. But before I even start breaking it down, Ian, can I just talk about the fact that, I mean, this week we get Khabib Nurmagomedov fighting for the first time in years?
Yeah.
And just last week. I mean, we got one of my favorite fighters to watch. Jasmine.
Yes, Adavitage.
AKA She SP.
Oh, Jesus. I almost ran into her, actually. Fun story here. The one week she wasn't at SBG, it was the week I was there training. So that's why I was just laughing my ass off.
Dude, I love that. And I'm so jealous. She's genuinely one of my favorite female fighters, like currently and possibly of all time. She's just so fun and so dominant. Yeah.
Her accent cracks me up. I don't know. That's not Canadian. I'm sorry. Whatever that is, that's not Canadian. But
her accent.
Yeah, that's not Canadian. I don't care what anyone says. I know plenty of them. And that's my hot take of the day. It has nothing even to do with the fights.
She's like gangster Canadian, bro. She's the new Canadian gangster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did retire. Never mind. You're right. Fair play.
Yeah, he did. You did well. He went to PFL and then he retired. So the nickname retired, like it's back on the market, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely back on the market. But here's what I'm gonna say about this fight, actually, now that we're looking
Let's
at
hear
it. I'm gonna give two hot takes. All right. And that's a shout out to my wife's favorite podcast. too hot take.
I'm sorry, did you say girlfriend?
Yeah, don't shut up, all right? She ain't looking right.
Somebody
now,
clip that and send it to her.
So what I will say is this, is first take I'm going to say is the Dutchman did not headbutt him. That was a cut from a punch. Second off,
the only time he headbutted him was when he headbutted him in like the hip or torso,
okay,
which was
so
hilarious.
We're on the same page here. We're on the same page though, right? That was not a headbutt. I don't care whoever told Sean that and let him believe it, whether it be Nina or literally anyone else. Yeah, he should stop.
He cut him with a punch. I'm so sorry for you. Yeah.
But I just needed to get that out of the way because that was a long, hot topic this whole week for no fucking reason when you could just look at a 10 seconds of film to figure that out. But not that we got that done, I can breathe. But my other hot take is I'm going to say it, but I think he gets it done again for the second time, the Dutchman. And you know what? I'm going to add a third hot take. Sean Strickland sounds like Rick from Rick and Morty.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
Does he not?
I mean, it's like the I don't think he sounds as cool as Rick. Maybe
no,
if he
no,
said
not
cooler
at all.
Things.
Yes. Like, you know, if he didn't hate literally everyone other than himself.
Yes,
yeah, I agree.
Yes.
But that's kind of on
I can
Rick
hear
if
it though.
Think about it.
I think it's just the raspiness in his voice. Yeah, you guys are communists. Like, yeah, he's funny, dude. He's funny.
It's a comedy act every time, and he is
every single
serious.
Time. He is so that's the worst thing about it is he's so serious every time. So look, folks, this one was the easiest one to put together because most of the numbers are almost identical. I mean, if Mike Goldberg was on this podcast, he'd say everything here is virtually identical. I mean, look, both 6'1", both 76 inch reach, strikes landed per minute, right over 6, strikes absorbed per minute, right over 4. So, I mean, let's go, folks. These guys are both going to go out here and put on a war. And what that means, of course, is one of them is going to come at you with either drunk man energy or puppy dog energy, as I like to say. He is like a 200-pound large puppy dog, is Drinkus Du Plessis. And what I mean by that is if you have a 200-pound dog that is 3 months old, that dog is going to hurt you. But he doesn't even mean to. He doesn't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to do. But you know that if he does something playfully, it's going to hurt. That's what it looks like when Drinkus fights. It doesn't look professional. It looks kind of sloppy sometimes, but it hurts. Like, we literally heard his opponents say this about him. You heard Robert Whittaker say, yeah, man, when I was fighting him, I thought, wow, he looks slow. And then he punched me in the face. like literally, just
but
insane.
Here's the thing to put in the perspective, right? Very awkward fighter, but what does that come with? Unorthodoxness. What is unorthodox coming with this? It's unpredictable. Unpredictable means you can't find training partners to work with you that can do the same thing.
Shout out to the new name in the chat real quick. Kirkland Microplastics is an all-time great name.
And honestly, not a bad prediction on his end.
Drinkus by tomfoolery. I'm actually looking. Can you send me a link? Send link, brother. To those odds on DraftKings, what are the odds on Drinkus by tomfoolery? Because I'm placing a max bet on that.
Yeah, I'm betting my house submitted.
That's what it feels gonna happen. Sorry to cut in.
No, you're good. That's literally my take. That's literally it. That's all I really have when it comes to this. Because we've seen it already. We know what to expect. You know what I mean? We've saw 5 hard ass rounds of this. Headbutt or cut or what you know, or punch, whatever way you want to put it, right? But we saw what's going to happen, probably, though, at a more heightened experience. Just because I think that Sean will, you know, this is do or die. So, like you said, it's a fight to the death. You know what I mean? Like,
fight to the death.
Yeah. Like, bro, we have a ref. Like, there's no fight to the death. I hate to break it.
iCarly style fighter. This man is an iCarly style fighter.
Exactly. And big fan of that show. So I'm a volley it up to you to, you know, finish it off.
And shout out to Brianna Frost in the chat. Let's go Drinkus. Yeah, let's go Drinkus. Let's go Drinkus indeed. That's who I'm going with. I'm not only going to follow you, but I'm going to do you one better. I think he gets it done in more emphatic fashion. I think he gets it done inside of 3.5 rounds. I think he gets a nasty finish, to be completely honest. I could see him getting a submission, but I'm more so leaning towards just a weird knockout. Because
like a weird angle.
Strickland does these weird things when he strikes. He has so much confidence in the fact that he's going to like be able to bat your hand down or move his head back that he bats his hand down and moves his head back and leaves these weird openings, right?
Yeah.
So
no, I agree.
And we've seen people like Steven Wonderboy Thompson expose those the most, right? Whenever someone dips out with their hand. See, I tried to do it blocking him and my hand was still up. But like, and he does this. His hands stay forward.
We have a word. We have a name for it. We call it the Luke Rockhold. No disrespect to the
AK. Oh my God. I almost kicked you out. I almost kicked you out right now. I swear. I was so close. I've been hanging out
with him every now and he comes to my gym every now and then. That's so rude. You know what? We've had some rapport already.
Luke's a good dude, bro. Luke's a good dude.
No. That's why I'm giving him some shit, right? But that is what he did. That was what he was known for, because he was a 6'4".
I was gonna say because he could do the big brother thing that John Jones does, where he puts his hand in your face.
He was an 85er at 6'4". Like that's not fair. I don't care what anyone says. So he would just lean back because he got used to it, because he was fighting guys in practice like Khabib that were smaller or guys bigger, so he can still pull and be fine. But Jesus Christ, I mean. Perillo.
He's a tall guy. He's a tall Perillo. love Perillo, bro.
I thought that was going to be the guy to help him, though. That was the one person I thought, because he comes to my gym all the time. He brings his guys in to spar us and whatnot. I think he's a great coach, so that's why I thought he would get it done. But in all honesty, like, Dricus' style is so awkward, it plays to his advantage. And I'm going to leave it at
that. He's so strong. Like, what's crazy is how strong he is. I went back and I watched, I believe it was the Darren Till fight that I recall the most, where like Darren Till had top position and he did the Derek Lewis. He's just like, I think I'll get up from here. He just basically stands up and easy peasy, no problem. He's a weird guy. And there was also another position in one of his other fights where he was in a bad position and he literally sweeps. And I went back and I was like, whoa, wait, rewind again. Rewind one more time. And after like watching it three times, I'm technically a white belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I have trained. I have trained with top level guys. I know my way around grappling. I just choose not to partake in it because I usually get injured going against these freaking white belts that are my level. Cause as you know, those are the ones that'll injure you. They go too hard. They don't know their power. And they're also trying to make a name for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
The spazzes, like, as we call them.
They're spazzes. It's a fact, bro. Like, any good coach will tell you it's a white belt that's going to hurt you versus a black belt.
When I have a fight coming up, my jiu-jitsu coach specifically tells me, do not go with the white belts. If anything, he actually picks my partners for me because of it.
I was going to say, he probably curates your fucking training partners.
Yeah.
Because he's a good coach.
I agree with you, though. Like, those are the guys you got to watch out for. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I felt the need to interject because white belts have fucked up my knees and my ankles too much.
Bro, I have so many things that click. I think I've had you like put your hand on my shoulder while it clicks. One of the two times that we've hung out.
No, it was bad. It was really bad. And you were drunk too, which made it worse.
Bad, bro. Yeah, it's just, it does that. It does that. That's what happens. So, not a big fan of the grappling situation here. And this guy does it without perfect form, which makes it even worse. Like, Dricus is a freak athlete when it comes to strength levels. I've watched this dude sweep out of positions, not using perfect technique, and it just works because he's able to muscle his way out.
Derek Lewis method, just get up.
Exactly. He graduated from the school of Derek freaking Lewis, bro. It is absolutely insane to watch this guy do it. I'm super stoked about this fight. I think Dricus is going to get it done via finish. And let's see. Speaking of which, what is that? We're both on Zhang Weili, right?
No, I'm on Tatiana.
Oh, you're on Tatiana. Oh, man. I don't know why I thought you were leaning Zhang.
I guess I did give her the game plan to win.
You did.
But Tatiana already has that game plan to win too. And I think everyone on this goddamn God's green earth knows what that game plan is.
That's fair. And speaking of fair. Fair play to you, my friend. Lethal Sugar in the chat. Always happy when you're here, my guy. Let us know who your picks are for this fight card in the chat. Do you have DDP or do you have Strickland? And let us know why it's DDP.
Or do you have a brain after that press conference?
Well, I mean, hey, do you have a brain after the press conference? And if you do bet against us and go Sean Strickland, I'm just going to take it as the fact that he shares a name with your favorite fighter. Sugar Sean. So we'll still respect you. Again, on underdogs, you can get DDP via finish at a 1.46 multiplier. Let's see what he is for.
You know what I'm going to do too? After this, I'm going to get my wife to choose who she thinks is going to win the fights. I'm not joking. 80% correct rate, choosing rate. 80%. We've tested this over 6 cards.
Dude, I love that.
And just off of one look of them, the guy in the blue shorts, that motherfucker will win. I promise you. Sorry, I just needed to give that.
No, I absolutely love that. Don't be sorry, man. I'm a big fan of that. I think that's hilarious. And it's always funny how like people that don't even watch a ton or like aren't nearly as invested in us, they'll do something as easy as like, they'll look at the weigh-ins. Like literally, my girl used to do this. She'd be like, oh, that guy has way douchier tattoos. He's definitely going to lose.
If
we would do a DraftKings, she'd win. I swear to you. It's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing, dude.
It does. Honestly, I'm not even going to say anything because I'm so pissed off by it. So, like, I'm just.
What you should do is you should ask her like four fights, and just be like, "Who do you think are going to win these fights?"
No, we've done this, and I've won.
I was going to say, and then make a bet.
No, I did. My bookie has given me enough right now at this point from just her.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Folks, we just hit 100. I was going to say we have 99 of you watching right now. We actually have triple digits.
We had more too, plus through my Instagram. So,
let's go.
We had like 40 people at once. So,
let's go. Yeah. So, we're technically up to like 140 right now. All right, let's see what Lethal Sugar said here in the chat. I got to go DDP. Sean is more attractive the longer the fight goes, but his jab and teeps won't be enough. Also, Zhang, she's too good everywhere to pick against her. My guy! This is why I'm a fan of you.
He thought Sean was attractive. I get it. I mean, I'm not into that style, but you know. I had to throw it out there.
Do you still think he's attractive even with the new mustache, though?
and the staff infection,
bro. That is. Can we talk about that for a second? I'm gonna do the last show of the show here. As we talk about the staff problem, because
it's way more than what you think it is too. Because it happens way more often. But it happens in a lot more fights than you know.
Oh, absolutely. Because a lot of times it'll happen in places where they can cover it up or they can hide it.
Yeah, like. You know what? I'm not even going to give an example for myself. We're just going
to ride with this. Don't do it. There was a female fighter that said something. I want to say it was like Laura Sanko that said it on a podcast afterwards. And I'm like, oh, what? What?
Her name was Sam Frank something.
Stop. Stop. Don't say the fighter's name, dude. Don't do that.
She said it about herself.
She said it afterwards at the presser,
yeah,
right?
She said on the presser. Oh, it's not me just leaking.
Yeah, she said I have like staff coming out of my. It was crazy. It was bad.
I'll tell you something. My mom may have raised something, but she didn't raise no snitch. So I'm just saying that
we're not doing that. I mean, like, and dude, you already made it through. Like, essentially, it's like making it through TSA and then saying, guys, I have marijuana on me. I just want you to know.
No, they honestly don't give a shit. Like, in all the times I've fought, they never checked me once.
It's crazy.
And I've seen people with clearly staff on them weighing in and everything, and they just were like, all right, can you do push-ups? Okay, we're good. Not actually, because in California, they're way more way more aggressive in regards to you being okay, like for your pre-fight physical. But I mean, in Florida, they were like, you look good. All right. Sounds good. They like looked at me. They didn't even fucking test me. But yeah, no, I will definitely do that.
Absolutely, man. Dude, staff is a hell of a thing. And he's not, the fact that he wore, like, he didn't even wear sleeves on his shirt. Like, he could have hidden that.
No, why didn't he wear a
tank top? It's so bad. I gotta figure out which page it was, but one of the big pages on MMA Twitter posted a Photoshop of Gwen Stefani's body underneath it with the caption Gwen Stefani.
Oh, that's good. Fair play.
So
whoever
good.
Came up with that,
it's you so won good. The day. It's so good. Gwen Stefani. I think the caption was like Gwen Stefani. Okay, I'll leave now. Which is just perfect, bro. So good. Lethal Sugar, you're right. Things are not lining up well for Strickland this fight, which is why I had to go ahead and make the last pick on my little parlay, Dricus du Plessis via finish. So here we go, folks. We got six picks on this parlay. We got Jack Jenkins by finish. We got Jake Matthews by finish. We got DDP by finish. We got Rong Zhu on points or on significant strikes. Kevin Doucette on significant strikes. And Kong Wong on significant strikes. What does that get you? 235 times your money. So again, if you put a dollar on it, that's $235. If you put $50 on it, that's $11,753. I'm fairly confident that a lot of these are going to hit. And the best thing about it is you can actually hit a flex on this. So if you do a flex on it, if you put 50, if you get four of them right, you get $83.5 back. If you get five right, you get $873 back. And if you get all six right, you get $8,395 back. So you're basically protecting yourself, protecting your share. Things you just love to
Before we go, I need to answer the last question from Kirkland Microplastics.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, so how do you
get staff? How could these guys be getting staff?
It's not as easy as you think it is. It's not like, or it's not as hard, or as hard as getting, like, staff is not that hard to get, comparatively speaking, to what you think it is, right?
Especially if you're in a very active gym.
Exactly. You could have a cut, ingrown hair, something, some type of open exposed, and it gets infected from the mat, from your partner, whatever. You could shower as much as you want after, but if you're a fair-skinned person like myself, it's a lot easier to get. I have to go to a dermatologist like all the time, just because I want to make sure I don't get something like that. And people like me, they told me I have, SIS is what they call it. It's called shitty Irish skin is what they told me. So, and I wish that was a joke, but that's dead serious is what they said to me. So, you know, like it's very easy to get. They have defense soap wipes are a great way to do that in between the shower and whatnot. But I just wanted to answer that question because I know that people think it's a lot harder to get than it is. It's significantly easier. So I just wanted to explain that before we go.
Dude, no, that's a great call out. And yeah, I mean, I appreciate the question. Kirkland Microplastics, we'll throw it up again. As he said here, how could these guys be getting staff? They're all top athletes, the top of top athletes. Don't they just need to shower after training? So as Ian said, like, it's a very, very easy thing to get. That's like saying, how did the president get a cold? He's, you know, in confinement. He doesn't go out and see a ton of people. He's always under protection. How could someone even get close enough to him that's sick? It doesn't matter if you're a pro. It doesn't matter if you're a schmo. Like, shit happens, unfortunately. And staff is definitely something that's very, very easy to happen. Nap Ellison said UFC 312. So, I can only assume that you mean like, refreshing, like that kind of, no,
I think it was the opposite direction. I'm sorry. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Or look, she, I know people are crapping on this card and you're not wrong. It's definitely not the best pay-per-view of the year. But at least the top two fights are extremely exciting. Even for people that haven't been watching for a long time, I feel like those top two fights are extremely fun fights. Jake Matthews versus Francisco Prado is going to be an absolute banger of a fight. Kong Wong versus Bruno Brasil is going to be a really fun one. Jack Jenkins always puts on banger fights. And then, again, Kobe Thickenese and Alexander Topuria. Like, there's a lot of stakes in that fight, in my opinion. And then, of course, going down, there are some fights that definitely got canceled, right? Like Reyes Ruya versus Stuart Nicole. That probably was going to be one of my favorite fights of the night. But it happens. It happens. It happens. I like the Jack Jenkins pick. That fight is guaranteed to be fireworks. It's money in the bank, Lethal. It's money in the bank, bro. I agree with you. 1,000% agree with you. Folks, we have triple digits in the chat right now. We have 116 of you just on my end watching at the moment. So we are going to call it a close. But before we do that, I have poured up one last final shot for all of you folks. Again, if you drink, raise one up with us. If you don't, then don't. That's fine. If you smoke, smoke like my boy Ian does, right? Because he wants all the smoke. And either way, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Because we appreciate each and every one of you, and we want to see you here a lot more often. Cheers to you. So, folks, with that being said, that's the show. That's UFC 312, and that's a wrap for us. One last time, if you're watching on Twitter, which there's 111 of you watching right now on Twitter, march on over to the YouTube after this. It'd be a huge, huge favor to me, and we'd really appreciate it if you could like, comment, subscribe, and smash that bell for notifications, folks. That way you know when we're live every week. And if you do none of those things, that's fine. I won't fault you for it. We appreciate you being here tonight all the same. And the only thing we actually ask that's mandatory is that you keep on going and keep on growing, folks. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.